Russia's diplomats booted from NATO countries, including the U.S., and the Mueller investigation intensifying, President Trump apparently sees the perfect opportunity to invite Vladimir Putin to the White House. That bombshell came from a Kremlin spokesman, eliciting surprise and head-scratching on both sides of the Atlantic. Putin's aide also told reporters Trump proffered the meeting during the two leaders' March 20th phone call, despite such a meeting not being noted in readouts of the call.
China's first space station, the Tiangong-1, came crashing through the atmosphere on Monday. However, Beijing's space agency says most of it burned up over the South Pacific. They also say it wasn't likely any large chunks would actually reach the ground. The station's name translates as Heavenly Palace and was launched in 2011. It was a cornerstone of China's ambitious space program. Originally, it was only designed to work for 2 years' worth of experiments, but its mission kept getting extended.
Too many dreaded trips to the dentist can be avoided with regular teeth brushing, but this doesn't always mean we're doing it correctly, say the makers of the Truth Brush. The prototype Truth Brush looks and feels like a regular manual toothbrush, but inside it's packed with miniaturized sensors. Many electric toothbrushes already have sensors and apps, but can cost hundreds of pounds. The Truth Brush gives manufacturers the data they need to design the perfect manual toothbrush at a fraction of the cost.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Tuesday. It's April 3rd, 2018, 5:10 in the morning. And here we are for another business day and another edition of The Opening Bell getting underway. We're glad you're here for a really good show that we have lined up for you this morning. A little later in the program, Heather Long from the Washington Post will be here. She's been writing about the unhappy states of America. We'll talk to Heather about why so many Americans are unhappy despite an economy that's booming in many respects. And in a minute, we'll bring in our first guest. We're going to be talking about human mobility. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, Dow futures are pointing toward opening gains on Wall Street later this morning. Dow futures are up about 48 points this morning. NASDAQ futures are up about 28. S&P futures are up about 9. A rough day yesterday in the markets. It was the worst start to the quarter that we've seen since the April quarter, since 1929, according to data compiled by Bloomberg. The S&P 500 fell about 2.5%. The Dow and the NASDAQ were not far behind. The worst rout in 89 years. Back then, it was a prelude to the devastating crash that brought the Great Depression. China's retaliatory trade tariffs combined with President Trump's criticism of Amazon sent equities into a tailspin yesterday. Lots of questions today about whether that's going to continue or not. Shares in the online retailer Amazon fell again for another day, encouraging a sell-off in consumer discretionary and technology stocks. There is a word today via Politico and Vanity Fair. President Trump may be planning to continue his war on Amazon. Advisors, according to Vanity Fair, have been urging him to open tax investigations and cancel Amazon's federal contracts. President, by all accounts, is upset with Jeff Bezos, the owner of the Washington Post. For the Washington Post coverage, the president has been making several false claims about Amazon and how it is negatively impacting the Washington, post office, the U.S. Postal Service. The president says the Postal Service is being drained of business because of Amazon. The opposite actually is true. Yesterday, the S&P 500, by the way, dropped below its 200-day moving average. That is a psychological benchmark that will have be on a lot of traders' minds today as the market day begins. Around the rest of the globe this morning, markets in Europe are lower. The FTSE in London off almost 0.5%. In Germany, down more than 1%. In France, down more than 0.5%. In Asia, markets are generally mixed, with the Nikkei off 96 points, 0.5%. The Hang Seng is up about 0.25%. The Shanghai is down almost 0.75% this morning. And oil is trading at, let's refresh the screen, $63.25 a barrel, which is up about 25 cents. Front and center this morning, mobility. How are we going to move in the future? Lots of guesses, lots of predictions. And how is it impacted by what we saw in Tempe, Arizona recently with a fatal crash involving an Uber, a self-driving Uber? Oscar Juan is with us this morning, the president of Strategy 3. That's a consultative wing for GenPop. Oscar, good morning. Welcome to the Opening Bell.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Let's talk about this, because it's, I guess, the elephant in the room. I know we're going to be talking about how we're all going to be moving, but what has there been a setback to what our discussion is going to focus on based on what happened in Arizona?
You know, it's funny. It's one of a long chain of events that's pushing this future of driverless cars coming forward. And I think, you know, it caused a lot of news and raised a lot of eyebrows. But I think in general, you know, the arc of progress continues forward. So I would say, you know, I think people noticed it, but it's not, I don't think it's a major setback in where mobility is headed.
We have often talked in this program on this topic about the disconnect between what people seemingly want based on polls and surveys and what's happening in this space. People are not so sure they want to get in a self-driving car, but this progress continues. We still see the research going full steam. What's the disconnect there?
I think so, two things. One, I think the public opinion is changing quickly, right? So most recent poll that we did said that the majority of Americans actually think positively of self-driving cars. And if you look at millennials specifically, those 18 to 34, we're looking at, you know, almost 70% look at this development positively. So on the one hand, you're right. The polls say one thing. I think, two, for many Americans, you know, we live in such a car-obsessed culture that they need to see what's actually happening, right? And I think, you know, without seeing what driverless cars actually mean to consumers, to drivers, it's hard to imagine. But if you think about, you know, driverless cars making, you know, the 45 minutes of your commute on either side of the day actually productive time where you can sit, read, talk to friends, maybe eat, take a nap, I think that opinion changes quickly if they start envisioning what the future does look like.
Yeah, I would imagine it's the demographic part of this, too. I think younger folks, aside from myself, would probably feel a little bit more comfortable about that. And it's probably just like everything else that we've seen in human history. Once we get used to it, it'll be a different story.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, we're starting to see some of inklings of what that future looks like, right? So I talked about, you know, what the commute time that frees up looks like. It also has huge, huge implications on what our city design looks like, right? So if you have driverless cars, you won't need to park them anywhere. So cities, suburbs even won't need things like parking lots, right? And that could be turned into green space or parks. You know, garages at home could be used for living space. And so I think as these pictures of what that future with driverless cars looks like, I think there's a, you know, that change of opinion comes quickly.
Oscar, hang on with us. We're going to continue our conversation here, but we need to take a break to check traffic this morning. Oscar Juan is with us, president of Strategy 3 and the consultative wing for GenPop.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now, Asian stocks fell for a second straight day today following yesterday's sell-off on Wall Street and jitters about U.S.-Chinese trade tensions. There is mounting scrutiny of the tech industry in the aftermath of President Trump's complaints that Beijing steals or pressures foreign companies to hand over technology. Spotify makes its debut as a public company today and not in the traditional way. Rather than a standard IPO, it is listing shares directly on the New York Stock Exchange, and no new stock will be issued. The music streaming service is popular worldwide but has never been profitable. Big change coming out of Detroit. General Motors will stop reporting monthly auto sales and only report quarterly. The move likely to shake up Wall Street because the monthly reports are used to analyze the industry and consumer behavior. Walmart's launching a new global wire service, allowing you to send money to anyone around the globe for a low flat fee. Mona Rivera, ABC News.
You're listening to the Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. We're on this morning with Oscar Juan. He's the president of Ipsos Strategy 3. Oscar, we were talking about self-driving cars, and I love this new What the Future feature on your website, and what the latest report in the spring this year is mobility. You talk about all things mobility. You mentioned earlier the things that we don't even realize might change if we head into the self-driving car future. You mentioned parking, but boy, there's so many others. There's tow trucks, there's snack food makers, the list goes
That's
on.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. I think if you think about how we consume today, all the things on the side of the road, for example, if you're thinking about a 7-Eleven or a McDonald's that you would pull over on the way back home from something, we might have to find other ways to consume those products, right? You're entering your car, you know, your destination, and it heads towards that direction, and you wouldn't stop over because you see something enticing on the side of the road. So some of the consumption would change. You know, on the positive side, we think about even insurance, right? Consumers pay for insurance to avoid an accident. In a self-driving world, you know, I think 90% or almost 100% of all accidents are human-caused. So without that factor, the number of accidents would go down to almost zero. And so we'd see the disappearing of need for auto insurance. And even in cars, you perhaps wouldn't need airbags or seatbelts anymore.
So what's going to be the flip side of this? Obviously, we'll see some stuff be invented and developed and things will change. But what's the sense of everyone right. that you work with there?
Well, I think, you know, the biggest question is always culturally, right? I think you look at the excitement that comes with self-driving cars as all of these new inventions and these innovations come along. We wonder what's going to happen to American culture and this idea that we are such a car-loving culture, right? Everything from, you know, the great American road trip to images of parents dropping their kids off at college in the station wagon or the minivan. We wonder what that will look like in the future. Now, I also know Americans are extremely adaptable and flexible when it comes to evolving to new situations, so we'll see how that all comes together.
Do you think that we'll see fewer cars on the roads in the future with autonomous driving, or will everybody have their own self-driving car?
So that's a good question. I think the common belief is, you know, there will be probably around the same number of cars. Now, what's going to happen is I think a lot of people today who don't drive or take the bus or take some sort of public transportation will start using driverless cars. But what's also going to happen is the utilization of cars is going to go up, right? So right now, if you think about the cars that people own, it spends the majority of the day in a parking lot or in a driveway. What's going to happen with driverless cars is those cars are going to be moving all the time, dropping people off, picking people up. And so even though I think the number of trips will go up because the demand will go up, the number of cars doesn't necessarily have to go up. We'll just get higher utilization out of the cars that are out there.
One of the interesting stats from the latest survey here is how many people find it necessary for them to have a car to get to work. 73%, yeah. Generally above 70%. And for partisan in nature, 86% of Republicans, 75% of Democrats, but generally above 70%. That's a big number.
That's right. And I think, you know, it's interesting. I think that's a very close-in view. You need your car to get to work because of the way cities are built and where people live in the suburbs and how kind of structurally the U.S. is built, right? But I think the other thing that driverless cars is going to cause to change is perhaps, you know, how we organize ourselves, right? So I think right now when you look at buying a house, you consider, oh, how far is the commute to my office, right? But if you're in a driverless car, that commute time, as I said before, doesn't necessarily mean you're behind the wheel all the time. It could mean I'm reading a book, I'm watching TV, I'm chatting with friends, I'm catching up on email, doing work, reading the paper. So, you know, with that commute time on either end of your day perhaps becoming productive time, the way we think about, you know, how far I live from work and how much time do I waste commuting, that might change. And so people might be willing to live further away from work because now you have an hour on either side of the day to perhaps sleep or eat, right?
Right, and so lots of questions that come from this technology and how we might move into the future. In regards to the accident in Tempe, Arizona, the question you ask is who's going to be writing the rules and regulations, and you know, how will they impact all of us and our jobs?
You're right, and that's a really interesting question, and that's I think one of the challenges to be solved, right? So, you know, the way driverless cars work is, you know, someone has to put in the algorithms and say, okay, if you encounter a situation where there's a pedestrian ahead and another car on the right and you can't turn left, what's the decision that the car makes, and what's the algorithm that gets programmed in there? So, you know, those decisions today are still made initially by people that then, you know, artificial intelligence starts to learn from. And I think, as we all know, that's an area that is still developing. So, you know, the accident is probably the first in, you know, a series of things that will kind of shape and nudge the industry as we go along. But it's nothing that, you know, is not expected of any growing industry, right?
Yeah. Do you are today?
Sorry.
Yeah. No. After going through all of this and doing this research as you do, are you excited, optimistic, or worried about the future?
I actually personally am very excited. I think it's going to be one of the great shifts in mobility, in the way we think about our society, the same way that, you know, railroads were in the 1800s, you know, the start of the highway system in the U.S. in the mid-20th century, and I think this will be the big revolution of the 21st century.
Oscar, good information. Wonderful having you on this morning. Thank you very much.
Likewise. Thank you, Steve.
Oscar Juan, president of Ipsos Strategy 3. And the WTF, What the Future series is one that you, it's worth reading. Head over to their website at gen-pop.com. That's gen-pop.com. And again, the spring title is Mobility. Very interesting, very good read there at Gen Pop.
Hi, this is Jim Dahlke with today's Inno Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by ChicagoInno.com. The first ever Pokemon Go Fest took place in Chicago last summer, and it didn't go as planned. Spotty cell reception and server issues plagued the inaugural event, which attracted roughly 20,000 attendees around the world. Pokemon Go creator Niantic was sued due to the debacle, and last week it agreed to pay more than $1.5 million to reimburse various costs attendees had for things like airfare and hotel accommodations. Uber plans to shut down its same-day delivery service, Uber Rush, which operates in New York, San Francisco, and Chicago. The service, which will officially cease at the end of June, ends at a time when competition in the same-day delivery space continues to increase by the presence of companies like Amazon and Deliv. And Grubhub announced it has expanded its food delivery service to 34 more markets across 19 states, including Fort Wayne, Indiana, Memphis, and Honolulu. That's today's Inno Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at ChicagoInno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. 5:39 now. Thanks for being here with us on our Tuesday edition of The Opening Bell. Are you happy? Sure, we all have jobs. The economy seems to be roaring along, but are you happy? It's the question that the Gallup Share Care Well-Being Index has been asking since 2008. The numbers are in for this year, for this past year. And Heather Long from the Washington Post has been writing about it, and she's with us this morning. Heather, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
We're not very happy, are we?
Yeah, it seems it's kind of odd. As you were saying, there's so much that's going right in the economy. People finally have jobs. We're finally seeing some signs of wage growth. And yet, when you dig into the numbers, and at least in this Gallup ShareCare well-being poll, last year, 2017, was the worst year they've ever seen. It was worse even than that period in the Great Recession in 2008 and in 2009. And even Gallup, the people who've been looking to stay there for years, called it an eye popper last year. They're just really surprised to see how unhappy Americans are right now.
And this is a pretty good survey, too. There are 160,000 people that are surveyed, adults across the United States. And so what should be the takeaway here, that it's more than just the economy that impacts people? There are a number of different things.
That's really the way I look at it. They ask a lot of detailed questions, and the five main categories. They ask things like, do you have a sense of purpose, and do you feel happy in your relationships, whether it's with family or whether it's with your community? They also ask about financial security, which goes to those job questions. And then they ask about health and wellness and depression and these types of issues. And what they found is that last year, there were two categories that they really think were driving a lot of this unhappiness that they were seeing in the survey. And one is this ongoing frustration in America with our healthcare system. I know I personally spent 3 hours waiting in a doctor's office yesterday. And so, you know, even though we have pretty good healthcare system overall, there's still a lot of frustration and in getting healthcare on a daily basis. They point out that depression, clinical depression in this country is at an all-time high. There's still clearly still a lot of anxiety about our health and well-being there. And the other thing they point to is A lot of people feeling like they don't have a sense of purpose. So even though people have jobs, they may not be the jobs that people want. We continue to talk about people being underemployed, wanting something, either a better paying job or a job that they feel better fits their skills. So there's still a lot of those issues in the economy. And the final one, I hate to say it, but there is a lot of rancor in our political discussion now. You turn on the TV, certainly the news, and it feels like it's just this constant battle between the left and the right. That new show, Roseanne, is sort of playing on some of those frustrations, even among families who feel like they can't even talk about politics anymore. So you put all that together, and then that's why they were feel that they were seeing such a high high level of unhappiness right now.
Yeah, and especially, I mean, this is very true for those of us who have family in red states or portions of red states. You know, the holidays were kind of a tough time to have conversations and even go home and visit. That's a big deal, isn't it?
Exactly, exactly. That's and they think that that was, they were seeing that in the survey where people were not feeling as confident and as comfortable as they would like to feel in those relationships with their family. I actually just looked it up. One of the things they do is they break it down by state, and Illinois, the state of your great state, is was ranked 36th last year out of the 50 states. So kind of lower middle in terms of just the raw score on that, on the happiness index. However, it did see a bit of a decline as well. There were 21 states last year that had statistically significant drops in well-being. So not only was the overall score for the nation the lowest they had seen, but they had never seen so many states have declines in this index. And the states were all across the country. It wasn't like, oh, the Rust Belt's declining because and they're still having frustrations with jobs. It was places as varied as Portland, Oregon, and South Carolina, and Texas, and Maine. So just all across the country, these drops in well-being.
Yeah, beautiful sunny California is in that mix as well. The only place that was sort of steady was the Rocky Mountain area. Is there anything that can be gleaned from that? I mean, is that just a geographical thing or political thing?
Maybe. I mean, again, Colorado is a purple state, has a lot of those issues we were talking about earlier in terms of divided families and divided communities politically. But a lot of people point to, again, one of the parts of this survey is health. And a lot of people point Colorado, hands down, is one of the healthiest states in the country. Repeatedly, people are out biking, out hiking all the time. And so the researchers think that some of that may have played into it for some of those mountainous states in terms of perhaps their sense of well-being being a little bit better than some other parts of the country.
Part of the, you mentioned the depression part of this, and I know part of your story you focus on how the this survey sort of mirrors others, and loneliness is a big deal. This survey sort of indicates that as well. Americans are increasingly lonely.
Yes, that's right. A very good point. It's pretty astonishing. It's about double the number of people today who are reporting that they feel lonely in this country compared to the 1980s. And it's loneliness in terms of more people living on their own, so not living in relationships or not living in traditional families. We have more single people for the first adults than we do married adults. That happened in the last few years. But it was also interesting. There was a Harvard Business Review piece this last week that came out, and those researchers were looking at loneliness at the job and in the office. And you know, there's ongoing debates about how we should organize our desks in the office and kind of how we create community in the office. And it was really striking that many professions, including seemingly coveted professions like lawyers, were reporting these really high levels of loneliness, and they weren't feeling connected to colleagues, maybe just too much locked in offices working all day. And, you know, again, people are trying to unpack how this all plays together and why it's causing so much depression in this country.
What do you think, Heather, is going to be the impact of this moving forward? Is it going to eventually boil over into the economy and some of the other consumer sentiment figures that we see, or other areas of our life on a daily basis?
That's a great question. Some people are arguing that it already is boiling over, and in the sense in the economy, one of the frustrations or one of the things that you and I talk about from time to time is just how low productivity is in the United States. I mean, we all think we're working so hard and working such long hours, but the reality is Americans, we're not producing a whole lot more than we were, say, several years ago. And some of that is holding back the potential of the economy. And some researchers argue that one of the reasons we may not be as productive and making those big productivity gains is because people aren't feeling as satisfied. And when you're not happy at work, and when you're not happy in how things are going in your life, you tend not to put as much effort in, even if you're sitting there at your desk or for long hours. So that's kind of an interesting part of it. I think, too, the political economy aspect. Here we are in election year. Again, Republicans and the president are rightly talking up the good economy that's going on. But, you know, one of the big debates is going to be over health care and over well-being. So, again, even though people have jobs, do they have the right jobs for them? Do they have jobs that are making them happy and giving them the pay they think they deserve? And health care continues to be a big battle in this country. You know, do people have access to health care, and do people you know, feel that their needs are being taken care of? So I think we're going to see those debates very much play out in the coming months on the political side.
And healthcare, you know, the part of this is mental health. If this many people are depressed and lonely, that seems like a concerning statistic moving forward.
Definitely. That really jumped out to me as well. And that was kind of the big difference between last year and why the reading was so high for 2017 versus why it was so high in 2008, 2009. So in the Great Depression era, no surprise there, when the well-being was not what levels were, there was a lot of unhappiness then. It was driven, obviously, and primarily by concerns, financial concerns. People obviously not having enough money, losing jobs, losing homes. That was an obvious story. But when you look at last year, it was much more about what you're saying about the health care concerns and mental health concerns, as well as this the sense of loneliness and the sense of lack of purpose in life. And, you know, those are harder things in some ways to turn around. You can get people jobs. We're seeing that finally in the economy. But, you know, it's a lot harder to have people feel that sense of purpose and that sense of drive that we would like to see everyone have in a country as great as the United States.
Heather, good story. Great conversation. Good talking with you as always.
You too, Steve. Stay happy.
You too. And be well. Heather Long with us from the Washington Post. Heather's an economics correspondent at the Washington Post. You can read her work in the Washington Post's Wonk blog, and make sure you follow her too on Twitter at @ByHeatherLong.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, Dow futures up about 70 points this morning. NASDAQ futures are up about 40. S&P futures up 13. Gold and silver are both trading lower this morning. And oil is trading up about 27 cents a barrel. The latest now on agriculture and commodities. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Well, the trade tensions are back, and they took their toll on livestock and grains yesterday. Soybean futures lower as early session support from a lower than anticipated government forecast on spring plantings faded, and the markets focus turned to the trade situation with China. Corn futures did hit a 2.5-week high before giving way to selling. So at the end of the day, the July corn contract was unchanged. The July wheat contract down 4.5 cents, and the July soybean contract down 7.25 cents. But the trade situation between China and the U.S. took its toll on hog futures at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Late Sunday, China announced higher duties on U.S. pork and over 100 other products. Those tariffs went into effect yesterday. And so as a result, we saw the nearby lean hog futures, both May and June, down the $3 per hundredweight limit. That put June hogs at $73.55. That weakness fell over into the cattle market, with the April-June cattle down $1.62, April feeder cattle down $1.72 a hundredweight. Well, today is the day that Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue gets in the RV, and he'll be traveling to three states between now and Friday. He'll make stops in Michigan, Ohio, and Kentucky over the next 3 days. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. A couple of stories before we leave you this morning. Interest rates on short-term Treasury bills were mixed in yesterday's auction, with three-month bills falling to their lowest level in 3 weeks. The Treasury Department auctioned $48 billion in three-month bills at a discount rate of 1.740%, down from 1.760% last week. Another $42 billion in six-month bills was auctioned at a discount rate of 1.905, up from 1.895. Also this morning, EPA announcing it's going to roll back emission standards for cars and trucks, saying a timeline put in place by President Obama was not appropriate and set standards too high. The Environmental Protection Agency says it completed a review that will affect vehicles for models year 2022 to 2025. California has a waiver that allows it to impose stricter rules, and some conservative groups are pressing for it to get rid of that waiver. California seems to be ready to stick to its guns on the fuel efficiency standards that are in place there, and that could impact the rest of the country. And a story that's developing this morning, we heard earlier in the newscast, in the broadcast, General Motors abandoning its decades-old practice of reporting monthly auto sales, saying a 30-day period doesn't provide an adequate snapshot of the company's complex business or the broader industry. The move likely will disrupt the industry's collective attempt to give analysis, economic forecasts, and also information for investors in one of America's bedrock businesses. It's also something that we look at to see the not only the health of the auto industry, but a snapshot of consumer health and also the economy, the overall economy as well. They'll move to a quarterly report, apparently. That story's still developing this morning. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Tuesday. It's April 3rd. Not a lot on the calendar today. We expect Spotify IPO to happen. Shares could begin trading a little later on this morning. Dave and Buster's will release earnings today. Tomorrow, we'll get the ADP National Employment Report. Thursday, we'll see February Trade Report. And on Friday, the big jobs report, U.S. jobs report. That's Friday, the headline story on Friday.